Hey, today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuvav. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And also, it's sponsored anonymously, L'Zchusr for Shalema, for Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Batya. And it is sponsored by Menachem Gelbtach, L'Zecher Nishmas, Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. We thank all three sponsors very much for their sponsorships. And again, to sponsor shiur, it's $54. You can email dafsponsor@bknw.org. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of going through the eight different things that Abaye thought he understood until Rabbah had to come and correct him and tell him that, no, you're misinterpreting why it is that that people do what it is that they do. So I think yesterday we got through the first five, and today we're going to go through number six and eight, and then we're going to get into the sugya of Netilas Yadayim. The Gemara is going to discuss the ramifications of not doing Netilas Yadayim, how bad it can be if one doesn't do Netilas Yadayim. We're going to talk about washing Yadayim with warm water, which we already alluded to yesterday, but we're going to talk about specifically, since we mentioned that Netilas Yadayim Barishona can be with warm water, just not Mayim Achronim with warm water. So we're going to discuss some of the details of Netilas Yadayim Barishona with warm water. The Gemara is going to discuss the reasons for Netilas Yadayim. It's going to discuss doing Netilas Yadayim on fruits. It's going to discuss how much of the hand one has to wash when doing Netilas Yadayim. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about if what the minimum amount of times per day that a person can wash, and whether that's only for Shasat Chak, that there is such a certain heter, or it's not, or it's at any time, even in a non-Shasat Chak situation. So let's begin again. Va'amar Abaye, we are on Kuf Hei Amud Beis. We're not really near the end of the page, about 12 lines before the end of the page, and Abaye discusses a sixth item that he didn't know that Rabbah had to correct him on. Va'amar Abaye Mir. I thought that the reason people don't eat vegetables that fell off the table is because it's disgusting. It landed on the floor. All their floors were dirt floors. But then Rabbah corrected me and he said that eating such vegetables will give a person bad breath, and that's why they don't eat it. And a seventh thing, I used to think the reason people are makbid not to sit underneath the gutter that water flows down from the roof through is because that you're afraid of having disgusting water flow on you. You don't want to get hit by disgusting water. Amali Mar, but Rabbi explained, no, it's Mishum Deshchichim Azikin, because Shedim are often there by the gutter, so you don't want to be subject to whatever Hezek they could do. So the Gemara tells a Maisa that relates to that, to being under the Marzev and how Mazikim are there. Hani Shakolai, there are these people that were carrying, they were for a living. They would transport things from one place to another. Davodori chavisa d'chamer, and they were carrying barrels of wine. Bolit puche, they needed to rest for a little bit. So su tusi marzeva, they put the barrel underneath the marzeva. They put it right under the gutter. So paka, the barrel broke. Asul kamei de mar baravashi. So the porters came to mar baravashi to be toveya the mazik in the din Torah. Who is the mazik? The mazik was a shade. It was a demon. So they took the demon to a din Torah. Apik shipuri mar baravashi took out a shofaros shamte, and he put the mazik in Cherim. He put the shade in Cherim. Asal Kamei, so the Mazik came to Mar Baravashi to Beis Din. Amalei, Amai Tavadachi, why did you do that? Why did you have to, Mar Baravashi said to him, why did you break the barrel? Amalei, so the Mazik defended himself. Hey, Chiyavad Kiyosri Bu'unai, he said, what do you want me to do? I was trying to sleep, and they put the barrel right in my ear. I couldn't sleep. So Amalei, At Beduchta Deshchichi Rabbi, my bias. What were you doing hanging out in a place where there are a lot of people around? That's not a place to go to sleep, meaning you're the one that messed up. You shouldn't go to sleep in a place where it's a public location. Atu Dishani, so you're the one that changed from normal behavior. Zil Shalem, and therefore you have to go pay. So the Mazik said to Mar Baravashi, Hashtanami Likvili Mar Zimna. Okay, I understand that I have to pay, but you got to give me some time, Ve'efra, and then I'll pay. Kavale Zimna, so he said a certain amount of time where he had to come up with the money, and Kimata Zimna, when the time came, Yaakov, he delayed even further and he didn't bring the money. Ki Asa, when he finally did bring the money, Amarle, Marbara Vash said to him, Amaylo Asisa Bizimnach, why didn't you come on time to pay when I told you to pay? Amarle, Kalmili, the Tsayyid Vachasim Machayil, Umani, less than Rashus the Mishkal Mine, says, well, I'm a shade, and anything that is bound or sealed or measured or counted, I have no shlita over, I have no access to such money, so I'm very limited in where I can get money. Ad-mashkhin and midi-dafkera, I have to find something that's hefker in order to be able to get money, and therefore it took some time till I was able to find something that's hefker, because people are always counting all their money, people are always measuring what they have, and because of that I'm not able to access any of that. So Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara that appears in two places in Shas, Maseches Tainis, and in the first parak, and Maseches Bamitzia Daf Membeis, that tells us that in a bracha mitzuya, lo b'dav ramadud, v'lo b'dav rashakul, v'lo b'dav ramanui, ela b'dav rasami min ha'ayin. That to the contrary, that the only things that are subject to bracha are things that are sami min ha'ayin, are things that are not counted or weighed or measured. But once things are counted or weighed or measured, then it's not subject to bracha. Over here it sounds the opposite. Over here it sounds that a shade will only have access to that which is not muddled and shuckled. And so Tosa suggests that a shade can only be sholate on something that a shade cannot be sholate on something that belongs to a person. When a shade is only sholate, b'davar shade of muddled, it means the whatever is added because of the bracha, because that's like hefker. I mean, the whole point is, if it's already spoken for, a shade has no access to it. Once it's not, if it's something that's not yet spoken for, so it's the extras, whatever comes about as a result of the bracha, because the item was not yet measured, that could go to the person or could go to the shade. Now the Sfasemis just points out, what L'chorus, Pasha Pshat, Sfasemis and Tainis points out, that the point is that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't like to do things beyond Teva, certainly not in a public way, that people shouldn't see things as being miraculous. So once something is counted, once something is measured, if it were to grow or to shrink in either direction, it would seem that that's miraculous, that's unusual. But if it's not yet measured, not yet counted, so no one will notice if it goes, if it swells a little bit or if it shrinks a little bit. So it's not a stira at all. It's for the very same reason that something that's not muddled and not shakal and not manu, it's for the very same reason that it's both subject to bracha and subject to a shade getting a hold of it. So that's the explanation of the Sfasemis. Vamar Abaye, in the final eighth thing that Abaye thought that Rabbi had to correct him on, Meresha Avamina, Haidishad Imayim, Yipum Dechatzpa. I thought that the reason we spill a little off the top when we have a jug of water, we spill a little water off the top before drinking from it, is Mishum Tziftas, because there could be splinters of wood or something that floated to the top, so you spill them a little off the top. Amali Marba, Rabbi said to me, that's not the reason. It's Mishum Deika Mayim Harayim. That sometimes there's in the river, there's water that Shadim drank from, and that can damage anyone who drinks from it. And the way to be misakin that is by spilling a little bit off of the top. Ha'u bar Shade Dav Be'Rav Papa. There was a certain shade that was in the house of Rav Papa, and he would be Meshamish Rav Papa. He would serve Rav Papa. Maral understands now, bar Shade doesn't mean that he's a shade. It means, because then they would have called him Shade, not bar Shade. It means a person who was an expert in Shadim. However, Tosfos on Kufav Amaral makes it sound like he was a shade. So we'll see why Maral says that. So Azulatuye Mayim Minahara, he went to bring Rav Papa water from the river. I Akev, the shade was late. He didn't come on time to bring the water. So Kiasa, when the shade finally came, Amrulea, Mayi Yakavat, why are you late? Amalu Adchalfi Mayim Arayim, had to wait till all the Mayim Arayim that the Mazikim drank from was gone. So Adahachi, in the meantime, Chazinu the Kashadu Mayim Yipum Dechatzpa. He saw that when they actually did drink from the water, they were all pouring a little bit off of the top of the barrel. So Amar Iyavi Yadana Deregalisa Lemevadachi Lo Yakvi. He said, if I would have known that you do that anyway, then I could have come on time. I thought that you were going to drink straight from it, and therefore I had to wait till all the water, all the bad water, was gone. So Tosus raises the. So you understand why the Maral says that he was an expert in shading. This doesn't sound like a shade kind of thing to do. Meaning, I'm going to help you avoid the effect of shading. So if he's a shade, no, but he's an expert in shading, so he understands what they affect, what they don't affect. But Tosus raises the kasha. Why did he have to wait until the bad water was gone? He could have come and poured a little little water off himself, or let them know that they should put water, that they should pour water off the top. He didn't have to wait. So Tosfos gives two tirutzim. First of all, he was afraid that the other shadim would be upset at him for letting this be known, how to avoid the problem. That if he were to tell them to pour a little off the top, he was afraid the other shadim would be upset at him. So you see, Tosfos holds that it actually was a shade. And the second answer Tosfos is that shvicha doesn't help unless the person who's drinking from it is the one that pours it off. We don't really understand any of these things, but if someone other than the person who's drinking from it pours it off, shvicha won't help. So says Mar Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar. Now going back to the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, that's what the whole rest of the daf and well into tomorrow's daf is going to be about, Netilas Yadayim. So Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, Maimar Rishonim Echilu Basar Chazir. Failure to do Maimar Rishonim, to wash Netilas Yadayim before a meal, caused a person to eat chazir. The story in its entirety is recorded in the Medrash Rabbah and Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Chav, where it tells us that there was a Shas Gezeira, there was a certain Chenveni that was a Jew that would be Mevashel Basar Tar U Basar Chazir U Mocher. He would cook both kosher meat and chazir meat and he would sell it. And in order that people shouldn't realize that he's a Jew, it was a Shas Gezeira, he couldn't openly practice as a Jew, so in order to hide his Judaism, he would also sell basar chazir. And what he would do is, when someone would come into the store, he would have like a shibboleth. He would have like a code to be able to tell what the person is, whether the person is a Jew or not. And his code was, he would have them sit down to a meal, he'd have some bread out on the table, and he would see if they do netilas yadayim. So if they do netilas yadayim, he'd only serve them the kosher food. If they don't do netilas yadayim, he'd serve them the basar chazir. A customer comes in, looking like a guy, he has the bread on the table, he sees the guy doesn't do netilas yadayim. So he serves him the basar chazir, comes the end of the meal, time check please, right? He charges him whatever, 10 shkalim. The guy says, well, yesterday I ate here and it only cost 8 shkalim. He said, well, yesterday you didn't eat basar chazir. Today you ate basar chazir. You ate a different quality meat. And the person was beside himself. How could you do this? I know that you're a Jew. Don't you know that I'm a Jew? How could you feed me basar chazir? Well, I saw that you weren't notel yadayim. So because he didn't do netilas yadayim, that's why he ate basar chazir. How is the guy allowed to sell basar chazir in the first place? Why are these people dressing like guy? Well, it's a Shas Gezeira. So because it was Shas Gezeira, Rashi doesn't fill in all those details, but the Medrash fills in those details, that because it was a Shas Gezeira, all of this was allowed. Achronim otziyo si isha mibayla. And failure in Mayim Achronim caused a couple to get divorced. The details of this story appear, we alluded to yesterday, in Meseches Yuma and Daf Pei Gimel. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that there was a guy that sometimes there was a group of chachamim that went to a person named Kidar, and they stayed in his house, and they as an innkeeper, he asked, is there anything you'd like to put in the safe? And they put all their valuables in the safe, and then when they were checking out, they asked for their valuables back. He said, what valuables? You never gave me anything. He was kofer bipikadov. So the chachamim saw that he had adashim, that there were lentils on his mustache, so they sent to his wife, oh, your husband told us to get those valuables that he had put away. And she said, how do I know I could trust that my husband sent you? Well, he told us a simon that you fed him lentils for lunch, that he ate lentils for lunch. So she coughed up the valuables, she gave them back to them, and when Kidor came back home, he asked where the stuff was. His wife said, oh, I thought you said that I should give it back. And he got very angry, and he divorced his wife. Now, that's not the end of the story as it appears in Yuma. The end of the story that appears in Yuma is he killed his wife. But this version is that he divorced his wife. Hotziu esi isha mibayla. Kiyasa Ravin told the Yuma version. Ravin came and Amar Rishonim echilu basar nevela. The Mayim Rishonim was machil na basar chazir, was basar nevela. Achronim hargu esa nefesh. Mayim failure in Mayim Achronim is what caused the hargu esa nefesh, that the woman died. The Marsha points out that the Chum are coming to teach that Avera Gorer is Avera. So Zilzal and Natil Sidayim Rishonim causes a michshol in Macholos Asuros. Zilzal and Mayim Achronim, which is on account of Sakana, that's why we have Mayim Achronim, caused a tremendous Sakana, caused someone to die. So each one has like a Mida Keneged Mida associated with it. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak of Simanayich, the way to remember which of the Amorayim told which version of the story is Asar Rav Dimi Afka, Asar Ravin Katla. That Rav Dimi came and was Afka, that the husband had divorced her. Ravin came and killed her, meaning meaning didn't kill her, but told the story that she died, right, that she was killed by her husband. Rabbi Abba Masni Chada Mehani V'Chada Mehani L'Chumra. When Rabbi Abba would teach these stories, he would teach one of them with Rav Dimi's version and the other one with Ravin's version, but the more chumra one, meaning that Mayim Rishonim Hechilu Basr Chazer, that was Rav Dimi's version, because Basr Chazer is much worse than Basr Nevela. But he would also teach that the Ravin's version of the woman ultimately getting killed and not just getting divorced. Why is Basr Chazer worse than Basr Nevela? So Rashi explains, because Basr Chazer is two Isurim. It's an Isra of Behemah Tameah, and it's an Isra of Nevela, because even if you shech the Behemah Tameah, it still has a din of a Nevela, because Shechita has no effect on a Behemah Tameah. So it's as if it was never shechted. That's a sugya we had earlier on in Daf Ayin Beis. So the Rosh Yosef points out that you have to say that Rabbi Abba holds Isr Chalal Isr, because otherwise, how could there be both Isr of Behemah Tameah and Nevela? No, it was always Behemah Tameah. The Isr of Nevela should not be Chal on the Isr of Behemah Tameah. Or you could say Einis Rechal Alisser, but Einis Rechal Alisser is only a rule in Malkus, that you don't get two onshim. But as far as Isurim are concerned, then everyone maybe would agree Isr Chal al Isr, because that's what the Gemara in Yevamah says, that Nafkamina Lekovro Ben Rasham Gemurim, that let's say one person, two people violate Achilas Nevela. They both eat Nevelas their whole lives. But one of them eats Nevelas of Behema Temeya, right? Or two people eat Behema, well, yeah. One of them violates a double Isser, but they never got a double Onesh because they Nisr Chal al Isser. So Gemara in Yevamah says they get buried in separate places in the cemetery, because Allah is that you don't bury a tzaddik etzal Rasha, and you don't bury a Rasha Gomor next to a Rasha Sheinu Gomor, that you're supposed to bury people in separate parts of the cemetery based on, that's why the Gemara tells us this Masech Sanhedrin, that the Sanhedrin used to have a cemetery where they would bury the Haruge Bezin, and you're not allowed to bury the Niskalin next to the Nechnakin, because people who are Chayiv Chenek are not as great Rishayim as the people who are Chayiv Skila. Rashatz used to tell us that he thought that's where the minna came from, that shuls own sections of a cemetery, that they assume that people who belong to the same community, the same shul, are roughly around the same level of religious observance, so that's why they have their own section of a cemetery. That's where it came from, that there's a chilek harabanim of a cemetery, that there are different parts of a cemetery to try to keep people in their category, so to speak. Amrav Nachmaritz, no, we did that. So it says Gemara Vayter now, Itmar. Going further, discussing halachos of netilas yadayim, chamei or, if you have water that was heated by a fire, chizki amar ein notel mehen liyadayim. You're not allowed to do netilas yadayim on such water that was heated by a fire. Rabbi Yochanan amar notel mehen liyadayim, that you are allowed to do netilas yadayim on it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan shalti from Gamliel b'noshal Rabbi. I asked from Gamliel va'ochel taros, and he was someone who's mak betit chulin betara va'amrli kol gedoli Galil osin kein. All the gedoli Yisrael in the Galil would wash their hands with such mayim chamim, without water. So it must be that it's mutter. Chamei Tveria, naturally hot springs. The Gemara always calls it Chamei Tveria, but really any naturally hot spring. So Chamei Tveria, Chizkia Amar, Ein Notam Mem Liyadayim. Chizkia says, No Netilas Yadayim in Chamei Tveria, Aval Matbilin Behen Hayadayim. But you could dip your hands in Chamei Tveria if it has 40 Sa'ah in a specific location, because then it has a din of a mikveh, and there's no issue of a hot mikveh. You're allowed to use a warm mikveh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Gufo Tovel Behen. Then no, you could dip your whole body in a hot mikveh, but you're not allowed to wash panav yadav raglav when in a hot mikveh. Just like you're not allowed to do netilas yadayim. Meaning the assumption is, so just like they're not okay for netilas yadayim, you're not allowed to do tevilas yadayim in a hot mikveh. Even though the chamei or are kosher according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's only because they already had a shei mayim before they were ever heated up. But the Rashi points out, but Chamei Tveria never wore anything else. They're naturally hot, so they never had a shem kosher mayim, and therefore you're not allowed to do tevilas yadayim, even tevilas yadayim, let alone netilas yadayim with Chamei Tveria. Tamid Rabbi Yonah in Maseches Brachos point out in the name of Rabbi Yonah that the reason for the psul of Chamei Tveria is not because of the heat; it's because of the bitterness. They're very bitter waters, and a person can never drink them, even Ali Day of Chak. They're not right even for Shtias Behema, and therefore they're possible for Netilas Yadayim when they're in a kli and even after they cool down. But other waters that come from warm sources and aren't so bitter are kosher according to Rabbi Yochanan for Netilas Yadayim, like Chamei Or. So Rabbi Yonah says differently than Rashi. Rashi understood that it's a din in the heat, and therefore it doesn't matter what what kind of natural hot springs you're dealing with, chametveria or otherwise. Says Rabbi Yonah, no, this dafka din chametveria, because the water apparently of chametveria has a lot of minerals in it and is extremely bitter water. So says Gemara, wait a second. Hashta kol gufo tovel behem. If you're allowed to dip your entire body in chametveria, panav yadav raglav kolshkein, you should for sure be allowed to dip panav yadav raglav. Why is it possible for tvilas yadayim? Amar Papa b'makoma dekli amalo pligi d'shari. You're right. If the water is still in the chametveria, it's still there in its original source, you can do everything. Mishkol minay b'mana, once you draw water out and you take it in the kli, dekli amalo pligi d'asir. Everyone would agree, Chizkiya, Rabbi Yochanan, everyone would agree that it's asir, that's possible in the tilas yadayim. Ki pligi d'paskinu b'basbirta. The case is that you divert some of the water into a little ditch, and that place where you divert that water to doesn't have a sheer mikveh. It doesn't have 40 sa'ah, and it's just connected through this channel to the mayan, which is much larger. That's where we have machlokes. Mar savar gazirin barbirta atumana. Rabbi Yochanan says we make a gzera, you cannot use this for tevila sidayim, because we have to be gozer on a tevila here, atu, a case of a kli, because if you're matir this, people will come to think you could take the water out with a kli and also use it for tevila sidayim. Mar savar lo gazirin. And Chizkiya thought that there's no gzera. So says, in fact, this machlokas Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is a machlokas tanoim. Ma'im shenifsul mishtias beima. If you have water that is not potable, not drinkable, even for an animal, like chametveria, bikelim psulim. If they are in kelim psulim, you're not allowed to be notal yadayim with such water, because you need water that's roi l'shtias beima for notal yadayim. Bikarka, but if it's still in the karka, then ksherin. Then you can be tovel yadayim. Reb Shimon Elazar Amar af bikarka tovel ben kol gufo avalo panav yadav raglav. Even bikarka, you can dip your body in it, but not panav yadav raglav. So the Gemara said, but wait, hashta kol gufo tovel ben Yadav Raglav lo kolshkein. If you can be tovel kol gufo, you should for sure be able to be tovel Yadav Raglav. Elolav de paskinu bevaspirta. Ah, the case must be like our case, where you made a little channel where some of the water goes off to a separate spot. Ubaha pligi. The Marsav Rav Shimon Elazar holds that you're not allowed to be tovel gazrin and barbirta atumana, because we make a gzer of tefilas yadayim because of netilas yadayim. Umarsav lo gazrin, and Tanakama says we're not gozer. And that is exactly the machlokas between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, why do we do Netilas Sidayim? Amar Rabbi Dibarav and Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashayan. Netilas Sidayim l'chulin mipnei srach truma. The whole reason we do Netilas Sidayim before eating regular food is so that we can get in the habit of how to properly eat truma. A kohen who eats truma has to be notal yadayim min hadin, because stam yadayim with a chacham or gozer tuma on stam yadayim, and that tuma would passel truma. So if a kohen were to eat truma without doing netilas yadayim, it would pass the truma. This is one of the yudches davar that appears in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. This one, Daf Yadal in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara tells us that there were 18 things that when they looked around the Beis Medrash one day and they saw Rabu Talmidei Beis Shammai al Talmidei Beis Hillel, for once there were more Talmidei Beis Shammai, must have been flu season or something, there were more Talmidei Beis Shammai than there were Talmidei Beis Hillel in the Beis Medrash, and they said, oh, quick, let's take some votes. So they locked the door, no one else was allowed in, and they voted on 18 things, and they made 18 zeros that were all based on the vote of the Talmidei Beis Shammai. So this is one of them, that there were goes there, that Stam Yadayim are Tamei, and therefore the reason for that, because the Gemara says, is because we don't want the person to touch truma without netilas yadayim, because yadayim are askanios hein. So they made a gzera, since yadayim askanios, and we don't want someone touching truma with the yadayim askanios, that's why we're gozer tuma on the yadayim, so people will always have to do netilas yadayim. So what does that mean? So yadayim are askanios, yadayim do things. Why does that matter? Why did they have to make a gzera of tuma because yadayim askanios? So two interpretations. Rashi's rebeim, Rashi over there quotes from Rabos of Shal Rashi, that it's because they were chosh that maybe your hands actually touch something tameh, and they're in fact tameh. And the Rambam in Pirush Mishnah says the same thing. But Rashi says that's very difficult to say that's the pshat, that your hands touch something tameh. If that's the case, you should be choshesh that maybe your hands touch nafa tumah. Your hands are rishon l'tumah, and if they're rishon l'tumah, when they touch truma, they're not just going to passel truma. Passeling truma means making truma shlishi. When they touch truma, they'll make it a sheni. They'll be metameh truma, that the truma will even be able to be metameh other things. Furthermore, why would there only gozer on Yadayim? If a person's hands actually touched the Navatumah, you know what? His hands aren't tummy, his whole body's tummy. So what is the Netilas Yadayim going to help anything if that's what they were really worried about? And even if he touched a Rishon Tumah where it doesn't tummy his whole body, only his hands, why is Netila good enough? You should require Tevilas Yadayim. Where do we ever find Netila that works for Tumah? So Rashi disagrees. And Rashi says the reason there were gozer, Stam Yadayim, Shnios, and Pasul Truma is not because of Chash. It's yadayim askanios, means that hands touch disgusting things. Person will be will touch parts of his body that are sweaty, that are normally covered or something like that. So that's a genai for truma, that such dirty hands are going to touch truma. Ah, so then it makes sense that they were gozer netilas yadayim. So they were gozer tuma on the yadayim because people don't take cleanliness seriously enough. But they'll take halacha more seriously. It's not right that people don't take cleanliness. The halacha says that we're supposed to take cleanliness. Rav Zilberstein in Chashuk Echemer has a whole bunch of stories. He has the shaila that someone comes for a job as a malamed, and he knows the material well, and he teaches well, but he's a mess. His clothing is all stained. He's a total schlump. So Rav Zilberstein, he's not qualified. A person in Talmud Chachamim, he said, Rav Yashav, his father was very mad, but he would always remind people that you have to look dignified, that it's very critical that a Ben Torah should look dignified. But okay, but people aren't always so careful about cleanliness as they should be. So they had to be gozer tumah. Tumah, someone's going to be more careful of that. So that's the reason they were gozer netilas yadayim. Va'od, mishum mitzvah. And also because it's a mitzvah. What does that mean? My mitzvah. Am Rabbi mitzvah, l'shma divrei chacham. Pasuk says in the Torah, al pi ha-Torah, she yiruchav al mishpat asher yamulcha ta. You have to listen to the Chachamim. So that's the other reason. So the Achronim point out that's not really another reason. Meaning the first one was the reason that the Chachamim were gozer it. Second one is, once the Chachamim are gozer it, why do I have to listen to them? Because mitzvah l'shma, divrei Chachamim. Rava Amar, Rava says what Rav Yitzchak means is mitzvah l'shma, divrei Rav Elazar ben Arach. Rav Elazar ben Arach made a drasha that learned Netilas Yadayim from a pasuk. Tichsiv, v'chala shayiga ba'azav, yadav lo shatav b'mayim. Amr Rav Elazar ben Arach, mikan samchu chachamim, l'netilas yadayim min ha-Torah. The Chacham found in this pasuk a notion of netilas yadayim min ha-Torah. Amr Rav Elazar ben Arach, my mashma, where did they see in this pasuk a dinim netilas yadayim? The truth is, usually when the Gemara asks my mashma, it's really hard to see. This one's not so hard to see. It's pretty much right there. Tichsiv, the pasuk says, v'yadav lo shatav b'mayim. It says that he didn't wash his hands. So the pasuk seems to be saying that someone who's tamei from a zav is not tamei unless he didn't wash. He didn't wash his hands. So hashataf tar sounds like if he washed his hands, then he's going to be tar. But frankly, more I hot tevila bayi. What do you mean if he washed his hands? You need tevila to be tar. Elahachi kamar va'achar shaloshataf. Tame, that someone else who didn't touch his av, just stam, in general, if you don't wash your hands are considered tame. And that's a remez to netilas yadayim min ha-Torah. So most of the Rishonim understand that it's only an asmachta, that this is not an actual drasha da'oraisa. So what is the pshat of the pasuk? So the pshat, meaning if it's only an asmachta, so what does the pasuk mean? V'yadav l'shotav b'mayim. What is it? Why does washing your hands mean anything? So the pshat of the pasuk is that it's evarav lo shataf b'mayim, that it's any of his limbs. And we give an example of yadayim because yadayim are external limbs, or things that are always exposed to the atmosphere. And this is the Gemara Nida tells us. This is a remez to the halacha in Hilchas Tevila, that there are three zones of the body when it comes to Tevila. When it comes to Tevila, there's that which is galoy, that which is exposed to the atmosphere, that requires shtifa b'mayim. That water has to hit every inch of that. Then there's what's called balua, that which is completely concealed and is never exposed to the outside, a person's internal organs. That you can even have a chatzitza on that. A person can have food in his stomach and his tevila will still work. And then there's beis hastarim. There are parts of the body that are sometimes revealed and sometimes concealed. The eyes, you can close your eyes. The eyelids, you can open your eyes. The armpits, different parts of the body, the inside of the mouth, that are sometimes concealed and sometimes revealed. Those parts of the body can't have a chatzitza, but they don't require a bias mayim. So yadav lo shatav b'mayim is telling us that things that are like yadayim need actual shtifas mayim. Beis Hastarim doesn't need actual shtifas mayim. It just needs that it not, doesn't have a chatzitza. So that's why before a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to brush her teeth, and typically she flosses as well. You can't have chatzitza even in the mouth, even though obviously she's not opening her mouth in the mikvah. She would drown if she opened her mouth in the mikvah. So she's not opening her mouth in the mikvah, but you can't have a chatzitza by the Beis Hastarim. But the actual bias mayim is only in the external part of the body. Okay, now Netil Sidayim when it comes to peros. Amar Blazar Amar Blashaya. The only reason anyone washed their hand for peros is only for cleanliness. So the initial assumption was that it's not a chiyuv to do Netilas Yadayim for peros, but it's still a mitzvah mishum nekius. It's not a chov, it's not a mitzvah, it's just rishus. And this statement of Rav Hoshaya is against Rav Nachman, because Rav Hoshaya thought that it's a rishus mishum nekius. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman have noted the yadav peros. That it's arrogance to he's a balgaiva if he doesn't until sedayim for peros, that he shows that he's machmir even in dvarim amutarim. That's like Esav being mafresh shumas from melach, right? That's arrogance. Amr Rabba Brachana, Havakimna Kamed Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yasi. I was standing by Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yasi. I till Kamayu Kalkala de Peri. They brought a basket of fruits to them. Va'achlu v'lo moshi yodayu. And they ate it without washing. V'lo yavali midi. They didn't offer me any of the peros. U'baruch chad chad l'chudei. And each one said a bracha achrona on their own. So I noticed those three unusual behaviors. So Shema Min HaTlas, each one is a halacha. Even Misich HaSkun, Shatamid HaCham, Tshrich HaMimud, that means even the regular behaviors of a Talmud Chacham requires limud. That's why Gadol Shimusha, Yosemi Limuda. You see the behaviors of a Talmud Chacham, you see the anhagos of a Talmud Chacham. I once picked up Rav Schechter from the airport about a year ago. He and his wife were coming in from Florida, and I picked them up from the airport and drove them home, because there's an email that goes out to Talmidim if the Rebbe needs a ride, if anyone is available. So I happen to have been available, so I picked him up, and when I dropped him off, he said, I just want to tell you, you shouldn't be doing this. I said, what do you mean I shouldn't be doing this? He said, this is for Talmidim to do. I said, I'm insulted, I'm a Talmud. I don't know. He said, no, it's for the younger Talmidim. You shouldn't be doing, you're a rough already. You shouldn't be schlepping around and driving me to the airport. So I said, what do you mean, Gadol Shimushi Yosemi Limuda? He said, no, that's not what it means. Gadol Shimushi Yosemi Limuda doesn't mean that you pick up my dry cleaning for me. It means that you that a person observes the hanhagos of the Rebbe, and through the hanhagos, they're able to derive halacha, they're able to derive, certain, it doesn't just mean stam to do chores for the Rebbe. It's not what Gadol Shimushi Yosemi Limuda means. One could argue, but if you don't spend any time with him, you're not going to be able to see the hanhagos either. So you pick up a lot of hanhagos also. Okay, so he says, Shema Minotlas, you see three things. Shema Minotlas, first thing you see is, Ein Netil Sidayim LePeros, that there's no Netil Sidayim on Peros because they didn't wash. Shema Minotlas, Ein Mezamina LePeros, you also see that there's no Bircha Zimun on Peros, because if there was Bircha Zimun on Peros, they would have offered me some, so we could have had a Zimun. There were two of them, there was one of me. I would have been the third guy. Shema Minotlas, Shnaim Sha'ach LeMitzvah LeChalik. You also see that everyone says their own Bracha Achrona when only two people eat. When three people eat, the assumption is that one person is Mevarich LeKulam. One person says a Bracha and everyone listens and answers Amen and Yotzei through that bracha. It's not the minig anymore in most places, because we assume that we lack the powers of concentration to actually focus on someone else. Hard enough to focus when we're saying it, that it'll be even more difficult to focus when other people are benching for us, but that's really the halacha as recorded in Shulchan Aruch. But when it's two people, everyone should say their own bracha. If two people eat, they're supposed to split up in the bracha. That's only if they both know the bracha really well. But if one is a sofer and the other is a boor means an amaretz, a person who doesn't know anything. Someone just, I saw a picture, there was a sign in Israel, you know how they translate the sign, so it says sakana boros biderech, that there are potholes on the road, but the translation said ignoramus is on the road, because the Google Translate. So, but a boor means an ignoramus, an amaretz, so he doesn't know, so sofer mevarech ubor yotzi, so the sofer will, the one who knows will say the bracha, and the other guy will be yotze. Tulsus points out that he didn't want to. The two people eat, not only that they're not rashayim lezamein, they can't be motzi each other in birchas hamazon. Each one says their own bracha. So Tulsus asks, why, when it comes to bracha rishona, in many places in Shas, it's evident that one person says a bracha for other people and they're yotze, even if everybody's bekiyim. Yet when it comes to bracha achrona, when they're bekiyim, we insist that everyone says their own bracha. So this is this long Tulsus, Ibrahim Maskul, Shema Minah, that goes over to Amid Beis. He discusses this issue and he suggests that when it comes to bracha rishona, since everyone requires the bracha in order to get hana'a, so that's why one will concentrate better and will listen. But when it comes to bracha achrona, you're pretty much done already, so then you should say your own bracha, you shouldn't listen to somebody else, unless it's a zimun. So says Gemara further now, where do you have to wash up until on your hand for netilas yadayim? So Tan Rabban, netilas yadayim l'chulin ad haperek. For chulin, until the middle of your finger, the second knuckle. That's what we assume ad haperek means, even though the Gemara is not abundantly clear about that. Litruma ad haperek, and for truma, you have to wash up until the end of the end of your fingers. Ad haperek means the all the way at the between where your finger meets your palm. Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim V'Migdash ad haperek, and Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim V'Migdash is even further. It's to the wrist. So again, none of that is explicit in the Gemara, and as you can imagine, this is subject to machlokas rishon and what any of these things mean, because it just says the words ad haperek for each of them. The kol davar shechotzitz b'tvila baguf chotzitz b'netilas yadayim l'chulin ubekiddush yadayim v'raglayim v'migdash. Anything that would be chatzitza for tvila and the guf would also be chatzitza for netilas yadayim for chulin and for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So when a person washes their hands, they're supposed to remove anything that's on their hands, unless it's something that's a miut she'eno makbid. If it's something that's a miut she'eno makbid, so that's something that is not a chatzitza for netilas yadayim. It happens to be when it comes to tvila b'guf, the Rama writes that our minig is we remove even those things that are a miut she'eno makbid, even something that's only in a minority of the body that we're not makbid about, even though it's not a chatzitza. So if someone comes back from the mikvah and they realize, oh, they have a miut she'eno makbid on me, so we say, oh, it's fine, it's a miut she'eno makbid. But if someone comes back from the mikvah and realizes they have a miut a makbid, then they'd have to go back, because that would be a chatzitza midrabanan, and that would passel. But l'chadchila, Ashkenazim do not allow toveling with a miut she'eno makbid. I got a call from a friend of mine who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He has a Talmud, married, is a Baal Tshuva, just got married, and is the Talmud's wife insists that she has to have her perfectly manicured nails when she goes to the mikveh. She doesn't want to ruin her manicure. So really, if it's a perfectly good manicure, that would be a miut she'eno makbid. She would always love it to stay that way. It's not realistic that it will always stay that way. She would always love it. She would never be makbid that it looks that way. So really, it shouldn't be a chatzitza. But Rama says we don't do that. We remove any sort of chatzitza, even if it's a miut she'eno makbid. So he says, I know in Eretz Yisrael what would happen to her if she tried to go to the mikvah like that. They would throw her out and yell at her or whatever. So he said, what about in America? I said, go to a Sfardi mikvah. She's not going to go to a mikvah otherwise, some Mustama Sfardi mikvah would allow. So I don't know that, but I said it's probably the best bet because it's Ramah. So anything that's a chatzitza would probably be a chatzitza for Netilas Yadayim also. By the way, for Tevilas Kelim also. It's the same rules. Rabbah, Tiferes Yaakov, why do you even have to mention Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim V'Migdash? That's more chamur. So he points out, because they ain't shvus b'migdash, you would think they wouldn't be gozer chatzitzos midrabanan b'migdash, but yes, they are. Amarav, ad kan l'chulin, ad kan l'truma, u'shmul amar, ad kan bein l'chulin, bein l'truma. Rav said that up until, the shir of netilas yadayim is the same for chulin and for truma, and he showed up until where the fingers connect to the palm, and Shmuel says, bein l'chulin, ad kan, the shir of netilas yadayim, bein l'chulin, bein l'truma, Rav said that difference for chulin and for truma. Shmuel said that no, all the way to the end of the fingers, both for chulin and for truma, l'chumra. Rav Sheish said, ad kan bein l'chulin bein l'truma l'kula. Rav Sheish said, no, only to the second knuckle, even for truma. Amar Barhedya, havakimna kamed Ravami. Barhedya says, I was standing in front of Ravami, va'amar ad kan bein l'chulin bein l'truma l'chumra. And he says, you got to wash till the end of the fingers, both for chulin and for truma. V'lo temer Rabbi Ami mishum de kohenu, and don't say that Rabbi Ami, because he was a kohen and was used to eating truma, and in order not to get confused, he didn't want to wash differently for chulin, because then he might come to wash in the wrong way for truma, because that's not true. It has nothing to do with him being a kohen, and I'll prove it. Rabbi Miyasha bar Berei, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hu Levi'i. Rabbi Miyasha was the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he was a Levi and he was not a kohen, so he never got to eat truma. Va'amar ad kan ben lechulin ben letruma lechumra, and he still was makvid even when he needed chulin to wash all the way to the end of the finger. So Amar Rav, notel adam shtei yadav shachris umasa aleim kol hayom kulo. Rav says a person can wash his hands in the morning and make a tanai that that should work for the whole day. That whenever he wants to eat bread that day, he's not going to have to do netilas yadayim, and he can rely on the netila that he did in the morning, provided that he's careful that his hands don't get dirty and that his hands don't become tameh and that he's not masiach das from shmira of his hands. So there's a lot of discussion in Rishonim over here. What exactly is the nature of this tanai? So maybe Bez Hashem will pick up again from Amar Rav tomorrow.
Yeah. Dog.